how far we can go tonight. Good to have everyone. We appreciate you coming. We're still in our week of unleavened bread. So I'll be talking about some scripture concerning that. Is that 89 for you? It's different on mine, so let me try to pull up another one. I have two of them, two files of it. Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to cover, I'm going to give you some scripture text. I want to give you as much as I can, leading us up to Sundays, and Saturday and Sunday. I want to try to finish it on covering the fruit, first fruit. So let's look at a few things that we weren't able to cover. And I'm going to give you as many verses. I want to give you these verses so you can take some time to go over it. And some of them, there we go. It won't be on the slide. Some of the verses I'll give some of this. It's two parts. I did another side study on this, and there was quite a few verses that I want you to have, because this will really help you in your own studies. So let's go through the initial part first, leading to the leaven. On our slides, and then I'll give you the second part. The unleavened bread, again, he says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them except what must be eaten by every person, that alone may be prepared by you. The word leaven is in the Hebrew is zeor, the leavened, the original. You see that I just put this, I just clipped this. This is information you can get right out of your Strong's. Gives you a lot of this information. It's a noun. It's a masculine. And you see at the bottom, I want you to look at that. It means to leaven or remain, to leave or to remain behind. That's what it means. So the reason they would take that definition is when the bread would be made and it would rise. This is when they had the time for it. There was no time for them to do it. When he tells them in Egypt, he says, make your meal fast, because they leave in the next morning. So he tells them what? Put your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you stand up and eat in haste, because they're, you know, gird your loins. Everything was, he was telling them, we're going to get out of here pretty quick. So that's where it came in. So what was left behind was when you make the bread, and maybe in olden days they did it the same way in more modern times. I'm not sure. You could buy yeast now. Right. So say you're traveling around in the wilderness. You're not going to go down, you know, around the curve of the mountain right before First Valley and find a side street and go down it and go into the yeast store. Right. Just not going to happen. So what they had to do is when they made the bread, they took the one piece of the bread, wrapped it in a cloth and put it and left it behind. That's where to leave or to put behind. They'd make that bread, and when they made the new bread, they'd make the dough, take that leaven, add it to the dough, and what would happen? The leaven, a little leaven does what to the lump? Leavens the whole lump. And so they would make that bread. What would they do before they put it all in the oven? Take a piece, put it behind. That's the leaven. So he said that's why it's to leave or remain behind. The short definition is leaven. It's to leave behind. So that's where it came from. Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. And Jesus said to them, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." So that's a warning. That's a warning. He says, "Watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." He says, because it had to do with some of the things they were saying, their teaching. How many of you understand we've experienced that? How many of you know a little leaven leavens the whole lump? So you got to be careful what gets put in the lump, because it don't just affect one spot. And that's some of the things I'm going to touch on for this koinonia. It only takes a little. And are we willing to humble ourselves? Because it takes humility in order to get rid of the leaven. If you're not experiencing humility this week, where we humble ourselves before God, no matter how much we know, no matter how many scriptures we know by heart, no matter how well we think we can teach, it takes humility to get rid of leaven. It's not just a conscious thing that you, I'm just getting rid of it. It takes humility. You have to humble yourself before the Lord and say, "God, I realize that myself, I can't do it. But I know that the price that Christ paid for me and the blood that he shed for me is what I submit to right now. I humble myself before the Lord my God." And humility you can only experience that through what Christ has done. And that's how the leaven gets left behind. How many want that understanding this week? We're not just doing something. Listen, this just becomes kind of this ritual thing. What point is that going to make? You're back in the same basket. It's not a ritual. This is us consciously saying, "Lord, I thank you for being so good to me, for loving me, for taking care of me." And realizing that in my mistakes, you realized that I needed your word and you led me to your word. You let me hear your word. And what happens when you listen to the word? It begins to just do everything it said it would do. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. I mean, I've experienced that. It has a power in it, a power that it can divide soul and spirit, joint and marrow, discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart, does all those things. So he says unto them, "Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." In Matthew 16, verse 12, he says, Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread. Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So what is he using the leaven of the bread for? He's wanting them to realize if they participate in a literal action of removing the leaven, therefore we have unleavened bread, then we can see the spiritual application of this, how significant it is. So who brings this up? No one other than the best teacher that's ever taught in the New Testament. And that's Yeshua HaMashiach. Who can teach better than him? He brought it up. He said, then they understood. Did they understand at first? No. After he kept going. That's why we have to read the text. Then they understood that he was speaking of the leaven, not of the leaven in the bread, but of the Pharisees, their teaching. So keep that in mind. Now the question is, what is leaven? I'm going to leave that up and we're going to move on from there because I want to cover, I'm going to cover this, but I'm not going to cover, if I don't get to it, I can always do it a night. So now this won't be on the slide, but it'll be, if you got paper and pen, you're going to need them right now because I'm going to give you a lot of scripture dealing with Passover, the unleavened bread, the first, I may not get on first fruits too much, but I'll do, see how far we get. Now, our Passover lamb, this is critical for what we're doing. How many had people ask you about what's going on so far? All right? How many want to know how to answer them and give them a good, solid answer from the Scripture? That's what I'm about to give you. So you write these down because you're going to have these encounters. You go to work. People's going to be asking, man, what was y'all doing? They might say this, hey, what y'all doing for Easter? And you're going to say, well, you know, we don't celebrate Easter like it's traditionally celebrated. What we do is we celebrate Passover. I'm going to give you those scripture. So you'll know them. You can go to your own trusty handbook. You can open it up and you can say, and you start reading it, familiarize yourself with it. You can give them some answers, okay? Our Passover lamb. This is what I typed, our Passover lamb. But how does all of this apply to us now in light of Yeshua, which is, we know him as Jesus, being our Passover lamb today? Because we celebrate in Passover. Now, we say he's our Passover lamb today because what he's done is a sacrifice that's once and for all. That's one sacrifice. We don't have to do sacrificial lambs. You might cook lamb, but that's nothing to do. There's no sacrifice there. We don't do sacrifices. You don't have to. He's been sacrificed once and for all. But then Yeshua came, what were they doing year after year? Constantly sacrificing lambs. Constantly. There was no remedy for it. It was just a kind of a temporary way to have God satisfied temporarily, and then he would make you do it again. But once Christ comes, he says that you don't have to do it no more. So when we know that, we don't have to sacrifice the lamb. What most people said is, oh, well, we don't have to do Passover. So we'll just do Easter. And there's always going to be a replacement. That's the devil's job. He's always going to replace taking the original that has all the meaning, everything you need to make the picture of the puzzle come clear. It's all packed in there, and he puts something else, and I can assure you, what he does put in place, he leaves a Christian veneer on it, but he sows deep, deep, deep pagan ideas into the minds of people. And it all turns into the selling point. How many notice that? In the end, they're just trying to get more of what you got to make you think that if you do that, somehow you have appeased God. Never going to happen. You're not going to do it by having those type of get-togethers. It won't get. But what makes God happy and what makes God move, being moved, is when we understand that Christ is our Passover. And we understand that. I mean, there are some who don't even mention. They won't even mention those terms. That's how foreign they are to them. Won't even mention them. They'll not read the story of the Passover. Won't be read. How can you have this time of the year and not even read that story? And that's exactly what millions of people are following. And we just simply ask the Lord to help us know the truth. That's what we're after. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. Okay, Lord, what's going to happen? What's so great that's going to happen? And so, how many are ready to write down some verses? You ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this, get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. Remember what God's... let me ask you, did God create Adam with leaven? It's a good question. No. He accepted into his life what was held back. What was held back? Are y'all ready for this tonight? What did God say you can't have? Don't have that. That's being held back. What did he accept? What's held back? What happens when you do that? It leavens the whole lump. But through Christ, why is this? Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch. Everybody say new batch because that ought to make you get chill bumps right there. I want to shout all over again. You're a new batch. Watch this. This is the revelation. without yeast as you really are. Is anybody thankful that when you have Yeshua HaMashiach in that lamb, that you get put back to the original? That's why we ought to be operating with a kingdom mind, because we're kingdom children. That's why we should be, we ought to be so excited that we're in the family of God. And so, as you really are, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Not will be, has been sacrificed. Simply stated, we have added reason to celebrate Passover in unleavened bread. It's a great time. Yeshua was our Passover lamb to free us from the bondage of slavery to the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death came as a result of disobedience to Yahweh. That's how it came. The law of sin and death, which was all wrapped up in that part held back of everything in the garden, all the trees of the garden, you can freely eat, but this one, holding that back. You don't want that in your life. Basically, God's telling, don't put it in your life. What happens when you put it in? It leavens the whole lump. So what do you need now? You need a miracle. We need a Savior. And thanks be to God that He did just that. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 through 20. This day I call heaven and earth as witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love Yahweh, you may love the Lord, or Yahweh your Elohim, your God. Listen to His voice. I mean, you know, that's important. What would have happened if Adam and Eve would have listened to His voice? What happens if we don't listen to His voice? We get in trouble. Listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. For Yahweh is your life. Isn't that amazing? Yahweh is your life. And He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your father Abraham, your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? Consider even the words. Let's look at the words of Jesus. That's what one of the things we have stuck with and looked at in all of our services as we continually looked at different things throughout last year and beginning of this year. Is continually emphasizing when we know the speaker is Jesus to take note of that. Yeshua in John 8:34, Yeshua replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Think about that. This is important. Very important to understand. In John 8:34, Jesus replies, He says, "I tell you the truth." How many want the truth? How many want the truth? That's what we've been after. He says, "I tell you the truth." Now, that implies to me something. They have been told something else. They've been told, and that's exactly what's happening today. You know, if you'll just be a good person, just come to our church. You know, everything's cool. It implies that they have not been told the truth. And I'm telling you, there's people all around the world that are professed believers but haven't been told the truth. But Jesus says, "I'm going to tell you the truth. Here's the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." I mean, who takes that as truth? That's what He said. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. We know that sin is breaking the law according to 1 John. This 1 John 3:4 says, "Everyone who sins breaks the law." Think about that. In fact, sin is lawlessness. Is that a great definition or what? It's real easy to remember, too. In fact, He says, sin is lawlessness. It means you operate without the law. This would guide you until the law came. Sin was not imputed. But once it come, we should say, okay, I'm breaking that. Yep, I'm breaking that. Now, we know there was what we call, not what we know as the law, but there was a command given by God to Adam. Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the one I'm holding back. Does that make sense to everybody when I say it that way? How it applies? That if you let that part in, which God knows, don't let that in. You don't want that. What happens? Leavens the whole lump. Aren't you thankful we're practicing and participating in doing Bible things in Bible ways? I don't know about you, but it sure helps me to make more of a connection with what God has supplied for me through what our Savior has done. And that's exciting. Here's what Paul does in regarding the breaking of the law. So if you break the law, you practice what? Lawlessness. Remember that. This is what Paul says. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. He says this. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? That's what we should understand. If the teaching's correct, you should understand that if you, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And we see that picture, right? So they're in Egypt. They're slaves to sin. But then the Passover comes. And what they're going to have to do in order to have that freedom? They got to apply the blood to the two doorposts and the lintel. They have to. The sacrifice has to happen. You can't have the blood. There have to be a sacrifice. The death of that 1 year old without blemish, without spot. How many read that? Brother Josh pointed that out. So incredible. And God's very specific. And then look, he says, then I'm going to get you out of there. And then you're going to, what happened? What's the next encounter they have? They wind up at the Red Sea. The Red Sea is that type of that death, burial, and the resurrection. So they don't you know that you've been baptized into Christ's death? That's what the Red Sea represented. So then they come out of that. And they get to where? Mount Sinai, which is they count the Omer to Shavuot. And what has happened? That's when the word of God comes forth. And he speaks, the mountain catches on fire. So you got to see these patterns are so incredible. And you'd think, you know, if it's just playing with words and all, they'd have to try to fix it along the way. You don't have to fix what God does. It's perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Remember that psalm? We used to sing that. This is the word of God. It's perfect. It's sure. When he tells you something, it's done. It's sure. You don't have to change it. Oh, yeah, let me change that because it won't work. It won't work in 2017. When you're dealing with the Most High God, who knows everything and sovereign. He don't have to change anything. It'll work in any year. But everybody's always adjusting. You ever notice that? Smart people. All the smart people. Well, we didn't account for that. Well, let me tell you with God, he accounts for everything. And you can do that when you're the creator of everything. When you can take something that don't exist and bring it into existence, you don't have to make no adjustments. That's what's so incredible. And let me tell you, all the smart people, they'd love to have that type of resume, but they don't have it. But the Most High, what an incredible resume he's got. It's all there in writing, and it's been written many, many, many years ago, and you'd think we'd have to put some modern twist on it, because how would he know what's going on in 2017, way back then? Let me tell you, he's God, and beside him, there is no other. Glory to God. Amen? So how many see that? So we've been baptized into Christ's death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. How was he raised? Through the glory of the Father. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. Through the glory of the Father. I like this. This is one of my favorite parts. You know, he says, we too, everybody say that. We too may live a new life. How incredible that is. We too may live a new life. That is absolutely amazing. Well, a new life from under what? The slavery of sin. What was the Israelites? They were slaves. Could they get out on their own? They were over 400 years there. They weren't going nowhere fast. But so what did they do? Cried out. And what did God say? He told Moses, I heard their cry. Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. That's what you and I should be preaching today. So people can come out of being slaves to sin. Very important. So, a new life from under the slavery of sin, just like the deliverance from Egypt. Romans 6, 5 through 7. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. Our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with him. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. He's not talking about this is going to be in the kingdom when he comes back. We shouldn't be slaves to sin now. What better example could we be once we let all of that stuff come off of us? We're not slaves to sin. Used to be. How many remember when you was a slave to sin? You get up, your brain's telling you to don't do it, but you do it anyway. And you struggle, you're fighting because you're in that bondage. But there's something happen when Yeshua HaMashiach comes and changes that. You all of a sudden, when you say, no, I'm not doing it, you mean it and you don't do it. Isn't that incredible? Well, you think you just got stronger on your own? No, something happened. It's called a new birth. It's a new life. The blood of Jesus started changing you. Isn't that amazing? And that's what we ought to be teaching people. We're not doing that anymore. And so you say, well, man, I still struggle with, yeah. Well, guess what? Welcome to the world. The struggle is real. But I know something that's real as the struggle is. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. He can get you through anything as long as you keep the faith and you keep on going. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. How many feel like you got some endurance happening at this time through Passover and unleavened bread? Let me tell you, God is good. So he says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Thank you, Lord. So we have to experience that. Literally, that has to be experienced where there's been there's a death of the old way that you used to, and there's now a resurrection in kind of now you're operating in that new life. Now, we know literally that happens to people. It's appointed on the man wants to die, and after that, the judgment, and there'll be a resurrection. So we're going to, but now we know that that has happened to us, and that's why the just shall live by faith. It's a faith walk. I thank God. And you say, well, I don't know if much has changed. If you accept it by faith and you realize that the power of God is there and give you the strength to make it, you're going to be it's going to be awesome. Absolutely. It's exciting. It is in Yeshua that you are no longer slaves to sin. He has delivered us from that bondage of sin and death, as mentioned in chapter 8, Romans 8:2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life, set me free. I mean, thank God that you can be set free. It set me free from the law of sin and death. Isn't that incredible? It set me free from the law of sin and death. So what happened when they applied the blood to the two doorposts and the lintel? What happened? Did the firstborn die? No. The firstborn didn't die. Let me see if I can help you with this. How many understand the firstborn idea of Scripture? So the firstborn, and we're talking about the male son, what happens does that when the male firstborn dies, it changes things as far as that family. Because if there's not another heir, that generation's gone. Once the person, the father, is dead, it's over. That's why the firstborn is important. Well, let me tell you something. The firstborn in Christ, if we look at the two Adam, or that typology there, so we had the first Adam allow what was held back to go in. But the firstborn from the dead. Are y'all here? The firstborn from the dead. Now, if he would have died, we are all in trouble. But because he had no sin, death couldn't hold him. So the firstborn from the dead keeps the generation going on. Hence, what God created from the very beginning is still alive today in all of us. Because if one can bring death and pass it on to all men, you know what he says? One can bring life and pass it on to all men. We ought to be shouting today, and we ought to be excited that we get a chance to even celebrate this. Let me tell you what it does when you break off all the stuff and you carry all them other ideas. You get revelation beyond your years. You open the Bible, I open the Bible, and it's like, this is incredible. It's just clear as can be. You see what he said. All those verses, they're not just to take up spots on the page. They all mean something. And I hope that you'll see that tonight. Romans 8:2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of sin, the law of the Spirit of life, set me free from the law of sin and death. Even in Psalms, we find where sin can rule over someone, making them a slave. Watch with Psalms 119. How many like 119? Isn't that incredible? Psalms 119, look at verse 133. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Who wants that kind of leadership? Direct my footsteps according to your word, Lord. Now, if I'm going to do something outside of your word, I don't want to go. But if it's within your word, direct me. Now watch this. This is an important statement. What the next part? Let no sin rule over me. How many of you pray and you're praying? You ought to write that down. That's a good open statement of prayer right there. Very good. Let no sin rule over me. In Yeshua, we are given the option to be slaves to sin or slaves to obedience. That's the option. You're going to be one of them. Every person in here, you're going to be a slave to sin or a slave to obedience. In Romans 6, verse 16 through 18, watch what he says. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So we better take that in consideration. Now watch this. But thanks be to God that through you, thanks be to God, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. How many remember when you was wholeheartedly doing that? We did it wholeheartedly. That's right. And that's why I can't figure this out. Don't get wholehearted for God. Really? that the one that gives you immortality, which is a far better deal than just die. You get old and die. Or you live forever. I mean, like we're weighing it, right? So we weigh it. It's not no closeness there. So why wouldn't we do that? Wholeheartedly, he says. But thanks be to God that though you used to be a slave to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. We did that. Wholeheartedly too. The form of teaching which we trusted in. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Now we should say, I'm going to get wholehearted and I'm going to dig this thing up. I'm going to find out everything I can. I'm going to learn everything I can about what Christ has shown us through the scripture. That's what we should do. So how many know that we've been doing this now for a few years and we just like beginners? I was talking to Brother Josh. I said, we haven't even finished Torah portion one round through yet. How you think we're going to be acting when we're on year 7? Think about that. Because you can't fill yourself up and learn the Word of God without it changing every fiber of your being and making you the light that will shine in darkness. When you go visit, people's going to want to hear what you got to say. If we're not saying nothing different, they don't want to, that ain't going to help nobody. But you go visit, have coffee, do whatever you want. When you walk in that house, people are going to know, tell me something. Because your words will have life in them. Because your words is not going to be what you think. It's going to be straight from the pages of the scripture. And that's what people are hungry for. It don't matter what I think. I come over here and tell you what I think. But does that matter? I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. You can take that home. If I never, listen, I preach. You know what I tell the Lord? I said, Lord, I'm going to preach tonight. It don't matter how many is there. It can be 5, 10, 100. It doesn't make no difference to me. But I'm going to do it like it's been my last time. Because if you never hear from me again, you know the last thing you heard, I'm telling you what the Word of God said. This is exactly what happens with the Hebrews when leaving Egypt. They were free from slavery in Egypt and then was given the law. They were then given the option. That's how good God. Gave them the law. Then they were given the option to obey or disobey. That's what happens. You can obey. You don't have to, but it's up to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 to 28. See, I am setting before you today, blessing and curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of Yahweh, your God, that I'm giving you today, or the curse if you disobey the commands of Yahweh, your God, and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. Following other gods which you have not known. How many know we got trapped into that? I'm so thankful we're free from that nonsense. And, we said, Lord, for that we have repented. And we said, Lord, we never want to be. Why in the world would we allow that? And so here you can be moving in the spirit. You could be speaking in tongues and all that, but not have knowledge. I think about that all the time. You know, as far as I was knowing, man, I'm following the Lord. And I was following and being directed by the Lord, but I was still trapped by the past. And the only thing that can set you free is the Word of God. You had to come to that. That is something you have to come to. You come to that and you go, uh-oh. What have we done? When you come to it, then it's not like you can close your eyes and go back to where it was. You can try it, but it don't work. I blink my eyes for half a day. You can't undo it. It's the truth. I tried. I said, I ain't saying that. I told the Lord, I remember, Charlotte said, did you sleep at all last night? I said, I couldn't sleep. I was in that hotel room, and I couldn't sleep. Sleep left me. I didn't sleep at all. I never even went to the bedroom. I stayed in the living room there, and I kept reading and reading and reading. I was like, there's no possible way that I can undo this. Once it's revealed, The only way you can, the only thing you can do is disobey. If you want to do something, you can disobey. God says, that's fine, but the curse is going to be on you. And I don't want no curses on me. So the only thing left is obey. To obey means you got to say it with everything that's in you. And I asked the Lord 1,000 times to help me be able to say it where I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't want to come in here with guns blazing and hurt nobody. Even though it would have been the truth, but I asked the Lord 1,000 times over, God, help me. Help me to be able to explain it where I don't want nobody to be hurt. Let me tell you, it upsets the cart. But the cart can be upset if we can learn to just start putting the stuff back in together. And some stuff, we didn't need to put back in the cart. How many of you understand that? And I'm so thankful. I can't tell you how grateful I am of the people of this church. I'm so grateful for you because you were willing to hear the Lord. I delivered a message. You was willing to hear the Lord. And let me tell you, you're going to be rewarded for it. And it's going to be a great reward. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that over and over and over again. I've talked to pastors. I've talked to some and they said, well, how, you know, I mentioned that and half the people left. Well, I said, you're not going to keep everybody. But it don't mean you don't still love them and you care about them. And every time you see them, you tell them that. I have people that have left this church a long time ago, years and years ago. I see them all the time. When I see them, I just say, hey, how you doing, brother? What I'm going to do? That's what you do. You never know. You may get an opportunity to share. And that's what you do. We're not here to condemn nobody. That's not our job. But we have to be the light. And sometimes the light, it makes you see. When you get with somebody, it makes them see what they don't want to see. And so they're going to say, well, I don't like being around you. But you have to be the light. You can't go around it. If you try to go and hang out with people and turn your light dim, you can't hide that from God. You might hide it from everybody else, but he said, hide it under a bushel? No. I mean, the kids know that. I mean, you sing that song, hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. That's what you have to do. And so when you shine light, let me tell you, how many of those happen when you turn a light on in your life? You go, uh-oh. Wow, I didn't know that was there. But that's what happens with other people. So they're not avoiding you because they don't like you. They might avoid you because the light's there. And they know you're going to tell them the truth, and they're not ready yet. But that's okay. You don't win them over by dimming the light. By going in, I'm just going to dim the light. You can't do that. You still got to be bright. Because let me tell you, when a crisis comes, they don't want you to come with no dim light. When a crisis comes, they want you to come with whatever brightness you can. They want you to call on the Lord for them. And that's what you have to be ready to do. So, aren't you thankful that he gives us this opportunity to obey? And just as the blood was applied to the doorpost in the Passover in Egypt, it is the blood of Yeshua that frees us from our sin. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20 says this. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world. Does that help you? If you remember anything about when you look into my glory series that I did, you're going to see that verse in there. That verse is in there. He was chosen before the creation of the world. So if you think God some kind of way creates everything and he's got Adam and Eve there and then they go and they allow what he holds back to come in and then the whole lump's leaven. If you think that kind of caught God by surprise... No. Oh, I see you did it. That's okay. I chose before I started a perfect lamb without blemish or defect. I chose him. And at a certain point in time, he's going to come and he's going to set the world free. So that kind of God is the one you want to worship and give him everything. Because when we couldn't look out for ourselves, he was looking out for us. Before we could figure it out, he figured it out. Do you understand? That's incredible. So he says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Every time you eat the unleavened bread this week, thank you. I'm having so much fun. You know, you can have fun in unleavened bread. Don't go around saying, man, it's unleavened bread. Hey, my kids is at it, boy. We got some, I want to keep it unleavened. Man, they baking that thing up. It's good. Man, they done some unleavened cookies. Man, you eat one of them, you say, oh, I know the Lord loves me. I know he does. Whew. If y'all had any. I know a couple people in here that snuck some in there so y'all can see them. They're kind of in this area over here. Borrow. All right, Revelations chapter 1, verse 5. Revelations 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. If he's the first, who else could it be? Everybody say, nobody. That's so easy to understand. If he's the firstborn from the dead, then how can we have other people born from the dead before him? He's firstborn from the dead. Now watch. And the ruler of kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Do you know there are major, major, major big churches that won't even talk about the blood of Jesus anymore? Because it's, you know, people get all, we don't want to, you know, it's kind of gross. We know he died and all that, but we don't, you know, we don't want to, you know, by his blood, you've been set free. Think about that. Yes. Yeah. Somebody died for me. So next time I'm trying to debate whether I'm going to blow it with God, you ought to think about that. Yes. Yeah, somebody died for you. So there got to be some kind of honor there. Some kind of honor, right? Somebody save your life, there got to be some kind of honor, I would think. You see it in people not even saved. They have honor because they know somebody saved their life. They honor that. They'll see you and they'll honor that. Thank you. Thank you. What can I do for you? They feel gratitude for the rest of their life. And I see people come to church knowing that Christ died for them. Came out of their own mouth, talking about the blood. I see them weeping on the altar, and then they act like nothing happened. Come on. Let me tell you, that's a lie from the enemy. That's why we got to preach the truth more. Because if we the truth, the more it's being preached, the greater the light, the less darkness. That's how you win. How many ready to win in your community? How many ready to win in your neighborhood? How many ready to win in the schools? How many ready to win? Greater the light, the less darkness. You can't listen. You say, well, it's not we can do. It's going to how can we fix the world? Listen, there's a lot more people than you. If you do what you can do right here where you live. Right now in your family, start in Jerusalem. If you want a place to start, he says, start in Jerusalem. That's what he's telling us there. He says, start with your family. Start there. When you got accomplished everything you can accomplish with your family, then you step out. Listen, people want to go out. Start with your family. Because let me tell you, when you got your family, how big is the light then? It's big. And then you start with your neighborhood. Can you imagine your whole neighborhood? Oh, you talk about a light. Then you start with your community. And if everybody's doing that, you're not the only one. We all accomplishing something. The light gets bright and the darkness gets less. And when you step out from these boundaries, because your greatest impact is right here. The greatest impact is right here where you are. Let people see something different. And you watch. Let's not quit. It's okay. We might feel like we're the oddball on the street, but don't quit. You stick with the Word of God. You go with the Word. Listen, if what we do is not in the Word, you know me better. There's no way we'd be playing around with foolishness. But what I'm showing you is the divine Word of God. It's what His Word says. If you stick with that, you're going to see some amazing stuff happen. Revelations 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scrolls and open its seal, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How many want to sing a song worthy? You're worthy. This is a song. Don't we sing a song, you're worthy? You're worthy? Man, we need to sing that next service. We live for you. Boy, we got to sing that again. When we sang that last? Is it recently? Well, we got to sing it again. Because we didn't sing that over and over. So today we have even more reason to commemorate Passover. The unleavened bread. To remember how He delivered His people from the bondage of slavery in Egypt and how He delivered His people from the bondage of sin. That's what this time's about. It's a commemorating. I'm thankful that you ought to think about it. You ought to sit down and say, boy, I remember. I remember. Like in Brother Chad's case. Boy, I remember that Sunday. I kind of eased in, just really didn't know what to expect. But I knew what I was doing. I needed something. But see, I didn't know. But God knew. God knew. He says, all right, I see. I can take that. And I can take him from right there and bring him way over there. Because that's where I want him to be. But there's all these things that the devil's got in his way. That's all right. The blood applies. Is it perfect from that start to there? No. But with God, you get to that destiny. That's incredible. And this is what this time should be. This is what we commemorate. We should commemorate, I remember when I was in bondage. I remember when a word came forth and he told me to apply the blood to the doorpost and the lintel. And I remember that night, the fear that come over me. I didn't know what to expect. And all of a sudden, I can hear it. The sounds. Can you imagine that night? They can hear the wailing. The scripture said the noise and the wailing. And they listening to it. And they looking. But their baby's right there. Their baby's alive. Their firstborn. I'm going to tell you, our firstborn, which is Yeshua HaMashiach. There was a lot of wailing. Hell was in an uproar. Satan is screaming and all the demons in hell is wailing. But that baby, that firstborn, was resurrected from the dead. And so we have hope. That's our hope. How many thank God for that? So I wanted to just give you some of those verses. Because, I'll tell you what, that stuff excites me. These verses. Now, I stopped on what is leaven. I give you a little bit of this. So if you want some help with the leaven in its biblical form is yeast. It's yeast, which is a living organism that creates a high state of corruption in the bread. A high state of corruption. In the bread. That's my better way to put it. I could break that down, but you wouldn't want to eat bread. Yeast is a microscopic fungus consisting of a single oval cell that reproduce by budding and are capable of converting sugar into alcohol and carbon dioxide. Hence, air, gas. It makes the bread do what? Rise. You ever seen any dough and it's got the, when you cut it, it's got all the air pockets in? That's what happens. So if you pull that out, what happens to your bread? Flat as a pancake. Well, in our case, we make it flatter than that. Right? We don't want no yeast. So that's what we're doing with unleavened bread. I think it's fun. I can remember all those years we didn't even know about this. It was right there. Same Bible. Same. Isn't that? You just want to do like hit yourself a couple times. Knucklehead. What are you doing? So I'm thankful for the Lord. I really am. I'm having so much fun. And the thing is this, you can't go back if you can't. What are you going to do? So where did leaven come from? I hope I helped you with this. In the beginning, God creates the heaven and earth. I could go over that whole scenario. And we have the earth was out form void and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And I just put that because you got to go back to the beginning, right? We can talk about darkness, the darkness. I mean, there's no in him, there's no darkness at all. And I could, you remember I gave you, how many remember that example I gave last year? And I had the circle and how God created this spot where he said, I'm not going to be. And it was described as outer darkness. You see, in the scriptures, we see that. And then there was that one path into that. So you could go back and reference that. We don't have time to do it tonight. But what is the original sin? What is the original sin? Remember we talked about it? It was pride. It was a pride. It was the understanding that pride. So doubt, when doubt is created about if God's really given you everything, because he knows. That's what the devil says. He knows that the day you eat it, he's holding back on you. You know, what kind of God won't give you everything? The one that loves you so much that he says, if you put that in your life, you're going to leaven the whole lump. Does that make sense to everybody? He said, you put that in, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And sure enough, they got themselves in trouble. But Satan will lie. You see, he'll lie and say, oh, you could do it. He knows. He knows if you get, you'll be as God. And that's what he's holding you back. Why would he hold us back? And so your desire to be not God's creation, but the desire to be God comes from Satan because he says, I will build my throne above yours. I'm so wonderful. He's telling the one who put him there from nothing. I'm so wonderful. I'm so beautiful. I'm amazing. I got all these angels following me. He says, you better watch that. Let me read it to you. What is the original sin? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Now watch what he says right off the bat. I got it on the, your boasting is not good. Let me see that. He said, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Now see the context there? Is this helping anybody? See the context. It's within the context. But what does he start out with? Your boasting is not good. Don't get no pride. Don't think you arrived and say, well, I'm good. Me, I'm keeping Passover, unleavened bread. I'm way better than the rest of them people. He says, hey, watch that. Don't forget. You didn't get where you got on your own. Somebody had to get you out of the miry clay. Never forget that. How many of you remember being stuck in the mire? We were stuck so bad we didn't know what to do. Some going down for the last time, but he heard our cry. You got to keep that position. That's called humility. You know why you cry? You can't help yourself. That's what the children of Israel did. They couldn't help themselves. And they said, God, God. They had already chiseled those names in their doorposts. Egyptian gods. We identify with so-and-so and this one and that one. And it wasn't going to get any better. And they said it got worse. They did. They cried out to God. God said, I heard you. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to cover up them names. And I'm going to set you free. I'm thankful he did that for me. So your boasting is not good. Do you not know a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Thank you, Lord. My God is amazing. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. Does he tell us not to celebrate? Who's speaking? Who's the speaker in the letter to the Corinthians? Who's the writer here? Paul, right? He said, therefore, let us, me and the Corinthian church, which is after the resurrection, many years, still doing it. This is before that. Now, the Gnosticism was in play. He was battling Gnosticism. Paul was up against it. And they was already creating all this hysteria about bringing in these pagan deities to upset the Christian movement, which come out of Acts 2 from Shavuot, right? He says, therefore, let us do what? Celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Isn't that amazing? That's absolutely, absolutely incredible. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Fear the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate, he says. So do we have to work on pride and arrogance? We do. That's not good. So be careful. We're working on that. We work on that. And I can tell you, it's so much better to humble yourself. So what is pride? Pride is doing things my way. That's what Elvis done. I did it my way. And he died. You got to be careful. I mean, he probably, he could be alive still today. I don't know how old he'd be, probably old, but wouldn't be that old. So you got to be careful when you do things your way. You got to be careful when you're not willing to listen to God's way, and you got to have everything your way. If you're having a little struggle with that, you can see that could be an insistent sort of enemy constantly pushing you toward pride. So we don't want that. So how many trees? Two trees in the garden. One pure life. The other, knowledge of good and evil. But the one, pure life. The other, knowledge of good and evil. But the one, pure life. Just pure life. But the other's knowledge of good and evil. Go back to Proverbs. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Two trees. One is pure life. The other, the knowledge of good and evil. Might want to stay away from that one. Right? That's what he said. Don't put that one in your life. You get your whole life messed up. I mean, you know, when your devil, you allow him in, he'll come in and he just takes over. You know, years ago, it doesn't happen very often now because people are more independent and we kind of live more separate than we used to. Years ago, people open their homes up, you know, especially on the bayou. Folks come over to visit. They might stay 2 months. I've seen that. I grew up and seen that before. I mean, hey, we're coming over for a visit. Oh, all right. 2 months later, they still there. I mean, like they got their own room. They start buying furniture, you in trouble. Now, today it don't really happen like that, but years ago people experienced that. You know, that's how the devil is. You let him in, he'll make his home there. You'll have to fight him every day. Do you understand that? You have to fight him every day. Listen, I go days and days and days. I get up in the morning and say, Father, I thank you for a great day today. I thank you that you're guiding my, you're directing my footsteps. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I thank you. And I can go the whole day and just worship and sing praises to the Lord. And not one time in that day where I'm having a fight with some manipulating lie from the devil. But I remember a time in my life, it was like a daily thing. Just every day. Because you got to watch. He'll move in. And what he does when he gets there, he plants his foot and he gets a stronghold. Now that's hard to get rid of right there. It really is. You got to be careful. And you know there's laws when you allow people to come visit for a long time. I'm like, this is for real now. If they know the law and you let them stay for too long, you can't put them out. You got to evict them. And you got to take 30 days to do it. That's a law. So tell people when they come, how long are you coming for? there's a statutory time frame. The law says you can only stay for a couple days. You gone. But I want to visit. No, you got to leave, take all your stuff out, then come back, maybe, but you ain't staying constantly. Glory to God. Well, I'm just going to stop right here while everybody's laughing. And I'll talk about this more on Saturday or Sunday. But how many enjoyed just the scripture? Listen, if you're going to do something, we're going to do it. If it's not in the scripture, that's a waste of our time. But what I see is every time I read, it's all over. So I don't know how many scripture we've had already just dealing with Passover and unleavened bread, but there's a lot of scripture. I want you to use that. Learn it. Teach other people. Encourage them. And let God touch. Don't let the devil move in this week. You make it a point when you get up and say, listen, I'm going with God today. Today's going to be a great day. I'm protected. He's watching over me, and I'm going to learn today. Lord, I want to learn. Allow your spirit, the power of your Holy Spirit, just to guide me. Empower me. Give me the words to say. Encourage me. Lord, whatever it is. There's been times that I could say something. I could. But I never said a thing. I've been in situations where, okay, Lord, you don't want me to say nothing? Nope. Okay. He knows. And then you get a phone call or somebody will contact you and say, you know what? You didn't say anything the other day. But there was something about this whole encounter. And then the questions will start. That's great. So let's be in prayer for one another. Saturday, Torah portion. Going to be great. It's incredible. So we're going to have our Torah portions on Saturday. And then Sunday, we're going to be talking about definitely first fruits on Sunday. But I'm going to do some on Saturday to see how much I could get done. But I want to bring, we're going to bring this to our close, and we'll count the Omer, and we'll be leading up to Shavuot. Okay? So we're going to, what did we do last year for Shavuot? Did we? That's our bread thing. Yep. So you know we got our bread. So what do you, it's the loaves you bring. So two loaves. So get ready for that, and it's going to be different types. So we had bread. We had more bread than we knew what to do with, right? So anyway, we're going to have a great time. It's going to be great. So we'll have you prepared, ready for that, coming up to the next two services. I love you. I thank God for you. I appreciate you for coming out tonight. And let's remember to pray for one another. And don't forget, let this be a time where you're celebrating and commemorating the fact that you and I were bound by our sins, but we've been freed by the blood of Jesus, that perfect lamb. So keep that in mind, and you are honored. This ought to be an honor to have unleavened bread this week. It should be such an honor to you. Every time you have a piece, you say, God, I'm so grateful for it. Plus, a lot of people, I don't know if they were confused, but they thought it was just unleavened bread. And they was like, what are we going to eat? You know, I mean, okay, we're learning together. You can have all the food. Food is allowed, but your bread should be unleavened. Okay, so if anybody was a little disturbed by that, I hope you at least had something to eat between now and me telling you this. Okay, well, God bless you. I love you. We'll see you on Saturday.